This is the Bigger Infinity Podcast, a Violet Spark production. Welcome to the Bigger Infinity Podcast, where we unzip and shrug off perceptions and beliefs, and maybe even a little bit of our reality. This is a podcast to inspire a journey of discovery and self-discovery, but also to inspire a little bit of curiosity and playfulness. Join me on this journey as we explore unlimited possibilities and create a bigger infinity. Hi, welcome to the Bigger Infinity Podcast. This is episode 4, and I am Beth Gillier, your host. As promised, we will be talking about victim consciousness today, doing sort of a deep dive into victim mentality, victim self, whatever you want to call it, because it is, and I think I've said this before, I've heard Kelly Brogan say that she believes that victim consciousness is the only human pathology. I really like that because I've done a lot of thinking about victim consciousness and victim mentality, because I find it a little bit fascinating, and I can catch myself if I am feeling like a victim or being passive aggressive or telling myself stories, and it doesn't always help me snap out of it, but I think it helps me kind of move through it a little bit quicker than I used to. And also, like, I think a lot of times when we are in victim mentality, we just think there's something wrong with us. A lot of times that is the story that we go to. There is something wrong with me. I feel crappy. I am suffering. Nobody likes me. You know, all the stories that you tell yourself, and you think there's something wrong with you. So if you can start to observe when you start telling yourself those stories, when you slip into victim mentality, then you will be doing yourself a huge, huge service, and it will actually make life so much easier for you. Just having this understanding of victim mentality is one of the most important things that you can do for yourself and for your relationships. So, first of all, I just want to say that other people's behavior is 100% on them. Their reactions, their behavior towards you, or lack of behavior, you know, if they're not doing something you want them to do, other people's actions, reactions are 100% about them. It has no reflection on you, and doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with you or they don't like you. It's their reaction, right? It's their issues. How you react and how you behave is 100% on you. Okay, so just by being aware that you have slipped into victim consciousness, or being aware that someone else is acting in such a way that suggests that they are in a victim mentality, helps you. It just brings an understanding to this situation. So there's something called the Cartman Drama Triangle. It was created in 1968 as a way to explain or describe transactional relationships. So if you imagine an upside down triangle, and on the top left, you have what's called the rescuer. The top right is the persecutor, and at the very bottom is the victim. So the rescuer feels like they know best, right? They want to feel needed. Their self-worth almost is derived from helping other people. They they do more than they need to. Oftentimes they become sort of the martyr, and they rescue people when people don't even necessarily need to be rescued, or it's not in their best interest to be rescued. But the rescuer steps in, often unasked, and assists, right? Because they feel like they're the only ones that can help. They often, you know, it's their whole identity to be the person who's helping, be the helper, be the one who comes to the rescue. Okay, so then the persecutor, and this is when I always found this really unexpected when I learned that this was part of the victim mentality, because I've experienced this firsthand, whereby the person who sort of vacillated between being the victim, poor me, I had a terrible childhood, I was picked on, I was bullied, but then they become the bully when they step into the triangle as the bully half the time, or maybe even more often than not. So they criticize, they control, they put down other people, and they use, if you think of narcissistic traits, that is oftentimes the persecutor. I feel like this is very much a victim mentality. So they criticize, they insult, they use personal information that you've told them perhaps as weapons against you, as a means of like feeling safe, feeling in control. They have a rigid authoritative stance. They, can be angry, sarcastic, bully, and it's always somebody else's fault, right? So it's a very kind of external, there's an energy exchange in all of these roles. And in the victim and the persecutor especially, it's very much an outward energy of blame. They blame everyone else. And if they're focused outwards on what everyone else is doing wrong, or doing to them, or what have you, then they don't have to look at their own stuff. And I think, as far as narcissists go, or like narcissistic traits, oftentimes that's kind of where the gaslighting comes in. So they will, almost try to trigger another person by blaming them, being angry, bullying them, using their knowledge as weapons. And they make the other person angry. And if they can make that other person angry and react, then they have the justification to feel like, well, they're the victim. So it's almost this weird kind of cycle. So they come in the victim triangle as the persecutor, and they get somebody else riled up, and then they're like, no, you're the problem. See, you're the problem, and I'm the victim. And it makes them not have to look at their own behavior and their own issues and problems and traumas, because they can be the victim. They can be the persecutor and the victim, and feel like, they're justified, because they don't want to, they can't admit that they're a bully, right? Because, maybe they were bullied as a kid and they were the victim. So they can't also be the bully in their mind. And so they have a way of, so that's kind of like their protection. They're got like, no, I'm not the bad one. And it's gaslighting, right? But they can feel then safe and protected. They're validating that they're right and good, and they make everyone else the bad person. And then at the bottom of the triangle is the victim, which is a little more self-explanatory. I only learned learned about this a few years ago, and it's just opened my eyes so much, because when you think of victim mentality, you really only think of that victim, you know, feeling helpless, feeling sorry for themselves, victimized, oppressed, hopeless, powerless, ashamed, worthless, inadequate. You know, all the stories like, I can't do such and such because of, you know, my diagnosis, or, you know, why is the world out to get me? Why does nobody like me? Poor me. It's very much like the poor me and the pity party. It's very much about people who feel like victims, not so much actual victims of like a crime or atrocity. So keep that in mind. So people who feel like a victim, and there's that outward energy of blame. So-and-so did that to me. This, you know, the world is out to get me. This, you know, why does the world hate me? Why does the universe hate me? Why is this happening to me, right? Everything is happening to you, and it's out of your control, and you're helpless, and the blame is on other people or an outside situation, something that you feel like you have no control over. So yeah, that's the victim or the drama triangle. I mean, this was eye-opening for me, like I said, when I learned about this, and I feel like there's a lot of overlap, so I kind of have my own spin on the victim triangle that I will be showing people who are watching this on YouTube. And it's more of like sort of the Venn type diagram, but like the three circles that interconnect, because there's so much overlap between these roles. We all have victim mentality at one point or another. And we all come into the victim triangle at one of these three points. And we often switch between the, like, you know, like I said, you know, someone who's maybe emotionally or psychologically abusive and has narcissistic traits often vacillates between the persecutor and the victim. There's also a lot of overlap between rescuers and victims. You know, the rescuer, there's sort of a outward energy of like, you need me, you know, I'm the only one that can help. And, you know, I have to do this because I'm the only one who can, or, you know, this person doesn't know what they're doing. They need me to fix it, or they need me to step in and help, you know, whether or not they ask you to help. I mean, if they ask you to help, then if somebody asks you to help and you help, that's not necessarily the rescuer. But if you are continuously like stepping in to fix your kids' problems or your parents' problems or your friends' problems, and they're not asking you to, then you are actually disempowering them. You know, maybe it was something, maybe that was, you're helping them with something that was their opportunity to finally kind of step into their power and take their life back. And instead you stepped in and you, you know, enabled them or helped them, and it enables them. And you're looking for that validation of self-worth, of feeling needed, of feeling important. And because you need that, you don't actually want the victim to kind of heal their own stuff and get their act together and be able to help themselves, because then who would you help? You'd need to find somebody else to help. And often, in my experience, you know, I had a rescuer in my life, and it's funny because she would actually get mad at me if I didn't ask for her help. And, you know, like, well, why didn't you ask me that, or why didn't you tell me you needed such and such, because I have such and such. And I'm like, well, it was easy to just go buy, you know, the thing that I needed. I don't need your help constantly. I don't need your advice constantly. Right. So I don't know, you may have one of those in your life as well. And yeah, and it, they take it personally if you don't want their help or don't ask for their help. And that's on them, right? That's their issue to work through. They're in the victim triangle. So they vacillate between rescuer and victim. Like, well, you know, why do you treat me this way? You don't need me. I don't know. It becomes very passive aggressive. That overlap, I think, between rescuer and victim, there's sort of an energy of passive aggressiveness in there. So if there's somebody in your life who tends to be passive aggressive, you know, they might be kind of trapped in that, in the victim triangle, or that space, that overlap between rescuer and victim. I also think like the narcissistic trait of like entitlement. And because I always wondered, like, where does that come from? Because I feel like someone who comes in the victim triangle as a persecutor, or, you know, and they vacillate between persecutor and victim, like they feel insecure. Like it's their effort to control their environment and their experiences and other people. And so if they're insecure, where does that sort of grandiosity come from in the narcissistic traits? Or like sense of entitlement? Like, it just seems so odd to me. But I think it's that overlap between the persecutor and the victim. And it's almost like just sort of a reality that they're trying to create. Having this understanding and being able to recognize when you or someone else has fallen into the victim triangle in one of these roles, then you will be able to, it just opens up so many more choices on how you choose to respond, or or the stories you choose to tell yourself. Because someone in the victim mentality loves telling themselves stories, right? And if you've ever noticed, when you are feeling sorry for yourself, or you're angry with somebody and you're telling, you know, you're blaming them, you're in victim mentality, you're telling yourself a story about the situation, and you're upset, and you have all these strong emotions, and for some reason, it feels really, really good. And I know this is hard to admit, but when you're upset, it's hard to talk yourself out of it, because you want to be right. And you want to be right about being wronged and that other person and what they did to you. And you want them to suffer as much as you are suffering. And that's kind of where that persecutor comes in as well. Like, you want that other person to be upset, and you want them to realize how wrong they have treated you. And you want to be, so sometimes you want to be mean, and it feels good, and you don't want to talk yourself out of feeling that way. Or you are upset and you're feeling sorry for yourself, and you don't want to help yourself, because it feels good to feel all that pity and to blame whatever it is you're blaming on how you're feeling. Because if you're blaming somebody else, then you don't have to take any self-responsibility, and you don't have to look at your own issues or problems or traumas. And at the same time, you know, you think, well, there's something wrong with me. Why do I feel like this? And then it kind of goes in this vicious circle, like, well, there's something wrong with me. And then you're a victim again, like this cycle of helplessness. And so it's really interesting. I actually came to this through reading The Power of Now and listening to Eckhart Tolle talk about the pain body. And if you haven't read that book, it's a really, really good book. And it's all about just being in the present moment and observing observing your experiences and your feelings, your thoughts, and that type of thing. And that is really, really powerful. So he talked about the pain body, and then I listened. I was really curious because it resonated with me. And I listened to a YouTube video where he talked about it a little bit more in depth. And I feel like I had an epiphany. Like, I imagine this pain body, and it's sort of like this, you know, your victim mentality. And I imagined it as like this, I mean, in my head, I visualized it as sort of this like slimy creature that just like a leech, but meaner, because leeches are kind of cool. Okay, so it like this slimy, big slimy thing that just sort of stuck onto your energy field around you, and maybe even your body. And it's just this amalgamation of all of your emotions that have been stuck in your body or your energy field, all your past traumas, all your past patterns, your programming, conditioning, sort of just become this, they get stuck and they sort of take on a life of their own almost. Like when Eckhart Tolle talks about that pain body, it's almost like this living thing that feeds on your suffering, and it wants you to suffer, and it wants you to be upset, and it wants you to feed it. So that's why I feel like when you are suffering, and when you're feeling like a victim, and you're blaming everyone else, or you're angry with someone and you're blaming them, and you want to be mean to them, and it feels good. I mean, you almost like, I have had times where I want to be mad. Like, you almost want to be mad at somebody. It's so important to be aware. It doesn't mean that you're not ever going to fall into the victim triangle, because you will. As humans, I think it's just kind of it's just sort of a go-to. Like, I don't know, it's really hard not to. So even as aware of the victim mentality, victim consciousness, as I am, I still find myself feeling like a victim and telling myself stories. And but the thing is, I'm completely aware of it. And so I don't always let it affect me. I'm less aware of it when it's like something in my relationship with my husband. Like, I will be feeling sorry for myself, and he'll call me on it. I've taught him all this stuff. So he'll call me on it. He'll be like, okay, you know, what stories are you telling yourself right now? And I'm like, I don't want to talk about it. Leave me alone. Like, I want to stay in my stories for a little while. Like, I want to feel right about feeling wronged for a little while. And it's kind of funny. And I will also sort of hold the two realities at the same time. So I'll have my stories, my victim stories going in my head. But then there's this other part of me that's like, yeah, you know, that's not true, right? And I call myself on it. I'm like, yeah, you know, because this whole thing, I don't know if you watched the last episode, there's this whole thing with my mom, and she got a pacemaker, so I was taking care of her, and she's 83, she just retired in November. She had sort of a part-time job that at least kept her active and busy, and I just feel like, you know, I'm having to take care of her more and more, and I was feeling very responsible. Like, her whole quality of life falls on my shoulders. You know, if she stays in the basement, she lives in my basement. It's a nice basement. It's like a little apartment. Don't get me wrong. But like, if she just stays down there watching TV all day, then I'm like, that's not a very good quality of life. So I need to make sure I get her out for walks and exercise and sunshine and everything. But it's a lot to think about. Like, I have to plan it into my day. I have a reminder on my phone to walk my mom. And then, like, you know, plan activities. And it's like when your kids are little and you have to, like, take them to the park and plan activities and, you know, just plan fun things, right? But in my head, it was just this huge responsibility. And I was like, oh, you know, I'm just getting out of this phase in my life where I'm having, you know, I don't have to take my kids out and do fun things with them all the time. Like, they have their own independence and they do their own thing. So, like, I'm just getting out of this phase where I have to take care of my kids. And now I'm already in the phase where I have to take care of my mother. And I'm, like, feeling sorry for myself and telling myself all these stories. But then there's this other part of me that's like, you know, you're full of crap, right? Like, you know, all the fun things you did with your kids, that was just fun. Like, that was no hardship. And, you know, having to take your mom outside and or to a park or get some sunshine or, you know, plan activities, like, that's no hardship. Like, that's fun. Like, there's no reason why you can't make it fun. Like, think of it as fun or whatever, instead of this dire responsibility. So, like, I'm simultaneously going down these paths in my head, and so I call myself on it, and it's okay. Like, if you want to feel sorry for yourself, I mean, feel sorry for yourself. It's okay. You just recognize that's where you are. And it's this pain body, if you want to call it, or darkness. I was reading something. Because of all of this, I've been feeling a little bit of darkness, a little bit of a void. I am not kind of doing as many magical things in my life as I usually like to do. And I wasn't feeling like my magical self. I was just feeling like the drudgery and exhaustion. And, you know, part of that was maybe feeling a little bit sorry for myself, but it was just this kind of darkness, this pain body. And I realized yesterday that I need to, it's okay, I don't have to try to get rid of the darkness. I don't have to fix it. I don't have to even necessarily heal it. I just have to acknowledge it and then just feel unconditional love for myself and for the darkness. And that's all you need to do. Like, it's okay. You can allow yourself to be in victim mentality. You can allow other people to be in victim mentality. So being a, you know, just having this knowledge and you're like, oh yeah, this person is, you know, obviously in victim mentality right now. And there's really nothing you can do. Like, when my husband tries to get me out of victim mode, like, I'm not having it. Like, don't call me on my own stuff. You know what I mean? You can't usually very easily talk someone out of being in victim mentality. And I almost think there's like a nervous system part to it, whereby the sympathetic nervous system gets triggered or activated. I feel like a lot of people, when they come in as the persecutor, there's sort of a fight or flight component to it. And so, yeah. And you just can't, like, if somebody's in fight or flight or if somebody's in victim mentality, you just have to hold space for them to come out of it on their own. You can potentially maybe offer alternate stories that they could tell themselves, you know, like, well, maybe if you think of it this way, or, you know, or you can just offer sympathy. You can't necessarily pull somebody out of victim mentality. Let them see the light at the end of the tunnel, let them go through whatever emotions they need to go through. And by holding space, I just mean letting them do what they need to do, feel what they need to feel without judging them and without reacting to them. And I know that can be really hard if somebody, like if you're with a persecutor and they're yelling at you and bullying you, it's very important to maintain healthy boundaries, but you can't really make them, you know, pull them out of it on their own. But you can maintain your own healthy boundaries and say, you know what, I can't allow you to talk to me this way. So, you know, deal with whatever you need to deal with. I'm going to be in this other room, or I'm going to go for a walk, or I'm just going to give you some space. You know, I love you, but you cannot talk to me this way. I'm just going to give you some space. And then that way you are not falling into the role of the victim or the rescuer. You are taking care of yourself, loving the other person or other people also, and just letting it play out without getting involved, without trying to fix anything or whatever it is you want to, you know, make the other person stop. Just allow their own darkness with love and acceptance and without judgment. One thing, like it's really, really hard, if not impossible, to be in victim mentality and also at the same time be kind and compassionate. So, at least for your own self, if you can feel love, feel compassion, and just be kind to anyone else, then you will not be in victim mentality anymore. So if you want to stop being in victim mentality, that's a good way to do it. You just send yourself love and kindness and compassion, and you send the person that you're dealing with compassion and kindness. So this is what came to me yesterday. I was feeling the darkness and I realized that our capacity to hold love, even like in any kind of situation, is amazing. And that right there is your biggest infinity, is holding love for yourself, holding love for someone else. Even the person who just cut you off while you were driving, send them love. You don't know what's going on in their life, and it's okay. You just allow other people their own reality, because at the end of the day, it's actually about love. And it sounds hokey, I know, but if you can hold the frequency of unconditional love, no matter what else is going on in your life, love for yourself, love for everyone else, then you are making the world a better place. You're making your own life a better place, and you are making the entire world a better place. Holding that vibration, that frequency of love, will help those people around you sync up. Like their vibration, their frequency will actually sync up to yours, and you will help them come out of victim mentality. You will help them, you know, calm down and feel better just by holding that frequency of love. And that brings me to my question and answer. So I had a question about the last episode and talking about doing what you want to do. And the question is, the question was, isn't that selfish to do what you want to do? It's inconsiderate and it's selfish. And I would tell you that if you are doing what you want to do because you love what you're doing and it is for your highest good, then that's different than doing something you want to do because you are in victim mentality and you want to punish someone else, or you have no regard for anyone else. You have a sense of entitlement, which is also part of the victim mentality. if you are doing something because you're triggered or because you don't have someone else's best interests at heart, then that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about doing what you want to do because it does raise your frequency. You are then resonating with the frequency of love because you're doing what you want. And you're resonating with the frequency of joy and happiness. And that frequency is actually contagious and will elevate other people's frequencies around you. So you could potentially make the entire world a better place just by doing what you want to do. And I stand by that. I realize that some people might get upset if you do what you want to do instead of doing what they want you to do. And I would tell you that that is 100% their problem. Like, if they choose to get upset about it, then that's something they have to deal with. As long as you are, like, honest and kind about, you know, how you handle something. Like, if you make plans with a friend and then you are just not in a place to go out, like if you went out, it would just be a disaster, right? Then, you know, you just have to be honest and kind. And if they don't take it well, that's honestly their problem. And I know that sounds harsh, but it's true. Because if everyone did everything they want, everything they wanted with this sort of unconditional love without judgment on themselves or anyone else, then you'd be okay if somebody canceled plans. Even if you really, really wanted to do it, you could still do it without them. Like, that's your choice. But you would understand because you do the same thing. Like, I only do what I want to do with the highest level of love and non-judgment. You would understand then where they were coming from. So I will leave you with that. I hope that this made a lot of sense and resonated with you. I hope it helps you as much as it has helped me in my life. And if you have any questions, please reach out or leave them in the comments and I will answer as many as I can. So that is it for today, and I hope you have a great day. Make fun choices.